Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
How many of you are ready for the big game? By the looks of it, I'd say the majority of you are pulling for the Broncos. Surprise, surprise. We want to welcome everyone who is not a Christ follower. Maybe you don't go to church anywhere, or at least you don't go here. And I want you to know we're so glad to have you. And maybe you're kind of shocked that all of us are wearing jerseys. This is Jersey Sunday. We said, hey, everyone wear your team, your favorite team's jersey. And maybe you think, wow, I thought these guys were religious. Well, we're not religious, okay? We're not stuffy. We're just normal, ordinary people like you. And you say, but wait, I thought Christians were religious. Here's the thing. We're not religious, but we do have a relationship with God. And there's a big difference. And our hope is that you come to have a relationship with God, a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. And speaking of a personal encounter, next week we're having our water baptism meeting. If you have received Christ here in the past few weeks, past few months since you've been attending Casper Faith, or maybe you have never been baptized in water since you've been a Christian, I want to encourage you to do that. Jesus said, let everyone who comes to me be baptized, repent and be baptized. It's a testimony, and it's something that he encourages all of us to do. And so I encourage you to come to our, say, I don't know much about it. What does it involve? Next Sunday, 9 o'clock, upstairs, I believe it's room 204, we're having a meeting for all those who want to be baptized or learn more about water baptism. All right. This morning, we're continuing our Living in Your Dash series. And the dash is that little tiny line between the date of your birth and the date of your death. And we've been talking about how do we live our life, this brief time we have, because it is brief. How do we live it effectively? And we've been using the word dash as an acrostic. The letter D stands for what? Help me preach this morning. Yes, you can cheat and look at the tombstone, okay? The D stands for determination. We need a determination in our life that we're going to live for God to the most of our ability, to the max, because there will be things happen. There will be times of suffering. There will be times that God even disciplines us, and so many people do not endure those troubled times, those trials, those tribulations, and they fall short. And we need a determination that we're going to press on no matter what happens. The letter A in the word dash stands for anointing. That's right. And if you are a Christian, you have an anointing on you. There's an anointing of the prophet who speaks for God, the anointing of the priest who worships God and draws near to God and reconciles other people to come near. And then that anointing of the king, where we stand in the authority of Jesus Christ and we exert his authority and dominion, his influence in the lives of the people around us, and we take authority over the power of the enemy. And we have an anointing, and God wants us to realize we must depend on his Holy Spirit. We must live our lives as people of praying and saying, God, use me, work in my life, and really seeking God to move through us. The letter S stands for serve. And we talked about how serving is such a huge thing. It's so large. And we talked about a couple weeks ago about serving with our wealth, with our money and our possessions. That's one of the biggest things people have a problem with, is giving their wealth to God. We talked about how it was Spurgeon who said, the last part of a man to get converted is his wallet. If we can say, God, you're in charge of our finances, that is awesome. And I want to say thank you to so much for those of you who tithe. And last week, you made a missions faith promise. That's part of the process of serving with your wealth. This morning, we're going to wrap up the serving part as we talk about serving God with our time and our abilities. Our time and our abilities. So let's take a look in Mark chapter 10, verse 35. And the setting of this is that two of Jesus' disciples, James and John, their brothers, they come to Jesus and they ask a favor of him. And really, Jesus is going to talk about the need for serving and how essential serving is to live an effective dash. Let's read it in verse 35. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him, to Jesus, saying, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." How many know when someone comes to you, that's a dangerous request? Just don't say yes. And notice what Jesus said. He said, "What do you want me to do for you?" It's like, before I say yes, I want to know what it is, okay? And they said, "Grant us that we may sit, one on your right hand and the other on your left in your glory." Now, what that's referring to is the disciples, James and John, all of them thought Jesus was coming as the Messiah to become the King of Israel. That he was going to set up his throne, the monarchy of Israel, and he was going to set Israel free from the Roman Empire, and that Jesus was going to be the world empire. And they're saying, "We want to sit at the right hand and left hand of the throne. We want to be your two top dogs. We want to be the head honchos, your number one and number two men in this new empire that you are bringing about." But Jesus said to them, "You don't know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with?" They said to him, "We are able." So Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink the cup that I drink, and with the baptism I am baptized with, you will be baptized." What's interesting is right here, Jesus alludes to the first two qualities of our dash, determination and anointing. When Jesus said the baptism he was referring to was the baptism in the Holy Spirit, saying that you're going to have greater power and greater anointing. And that's where the anointing comes in. And then he says, "Can you drink of this cup?" The cup he was referring to was the cup of suffering. The cup of suffering Jesus was going to drink from was to die on the cross. And both James and John drank a cup of suffering. James, if you look in Acts chapter 12, write this in your notes. You can read it later on today or sometime this week. In Acts chapter 12, James was killed with a sword. He was a martyr for Jesus Christ. He drank the cup of suffering. And when you look in the book of Revelation, John is on the Isle of Patmos. Patmos was kind of like Alcatraz. It was an island prison. John died in exile in prison. He's the only one of the 12 that wasn't a martyr, but he ended up being a prisoner and died there for Christ. And so Jesus said, "You need the anointing, the baptism. You got to be willing to endure suffering and drink the cup to have an effective dash." And that's exactly what they did. But then Jesus says something else in verse 40, "But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared." And when the 10 heard it, when they heard that James and John were jockeying for position in the power, they were greatly displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to himself, and he said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant." Did you catch that? Jesus said, if you want to have a great dash in the kingdom of God, you need to serve. In fact, the greater you serve, the greater you are in your dash. You need to serve. Be the servant of all. "Whoever desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." Jesus said that greatness is found in serving. And he set the example of that. He came to serve. You know, he didn't come to sit on the throne and have people wait on him. Someday he will do that at his second coming. But first, he came to serve, to take care of the sin issue in people's lives. Because here's the thing, Jesus knew there is no way I can rule the world in righteousness if people are still sinners. Jesus gave his life as a ransom. He died on the cross to take care of our sin issue, and that is something all of us have to come to terms with, is that we are sinners, that we are deserved death. The wages of sin is death, the Apostle Paul wrote to the Christians in Romans 6:23. And the thing is, we deserve to die and go to hell. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Jesus gave his life so that if we come to him as our forgiver, asking him to forgive us, and as our leader, saying, I surrender control of my life, we can be saved. And that's why he came. He suffered. Do you realize he was beaten? He was whipped. His beard was pulled out. 9-inch nails went through him. That's what Jesus went through for you and I. He set the example of ultimate service, going to the point of giving his life. And he says, if you want to be great, be the servant. Be the servant of all. Now, take a look in your bulletin this morning and take out your sermon notes if you haven't done so already. You can also go to YouVersion, and our notes are online there. Small groups, your life groups, your homework is inside. You can take this home and do this week. It's based off of this week's message. But take a look at the very first point that we're going to talk about, sentiments of serving. If serving is so critical, so crucial in our dash, then we want to learn how can we be great servants. The first sentiment of serving this morning is to serve according to God's will, being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Serve according to God's will, being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Everything Jesus did was in line with God's will. When you look at verse 45, Christ refers to his crucifixion when he says, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. God's will was for Jesus to give his life as a sacrifice. We see this in Acts chapter 2, verse 23. It's a great verse. It says, Jesus being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God. You hear that? It was God's determined purpose for him to be delivered. It says, you have taken him by lawless hands, have crucified and put him to death. That was God's will for Jesus to die, and Jesus walked in the will of God. Now, here's the thing. It takes a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit if you and I are going to walk in God's will. I want you to write this down, Acts chapter 3, okay? Acts chapter 3. Here's the thing. When Jesus walked this planet, he did not heal every sick person. He did not take care of every cripple, every blind person, every disease. There were people he did not heal. And a great example is here in Acts chapter 3. Take a look at this account. Peter and John are walking into the temple at the time of afternoon prayer, and this is what it says in verse 1. Peter and John went together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, look at this, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. This lame man, this cripple, was laid daily at the temple gate. And so the question is, how many times had Jesus walked by this cripple at the gate when he went in for the afternoon prayer and the morning prayer? How many times did he walk by when he was going to give a sacrifice? How many times did he walk by this man when he was just going to worship God and take time with God? Probably countless times over the past 3.5 years of his ministry when he was in Jerusalem. And it almost seems kind of hypocritical, because when you read the story of the Good Samaritan, Jesus rebuked the priest and the Levite who just walked by the person who was hurting, the guy on the ground who had been beaten and robbed and left for dead. And Jesus just, you know, he says they were wrong for ignoring him. But isn't that what he did every day? This man who's laid daily, here's the reason why he didn't touch him. The Holy Spirit didn't tell him to. Because you see, God knew that after Christ died, there needed to be a witness that the power has not left the planet. That this is all done and over. You got rid of Jesus. He knew that I need to show that God's not dead. Jesus is alive. And his ministry, his sacrifice was not for nothing. The power of God. So who better than a lame man who's sitting crippled at the temple gate that every day the priests and the Pharisees, they pass by, they see him, they maybe flip him a coin or two, and they know he's there. And now after Jesus is gone, you've got Peter and John. They come by and they say, we don't have silver or gold, but what we have you in the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. And the man gets up and he's walking and leaping and praising God. So every day after that, as the priests and the prophet and the Pharisees go through, it's like he's not there anymore. We cannot deny the power of God. You see, it is imperative that you listen to the Holy Spirit. When we say serve, it doesn't mean you're a slave all the time. You need to be sensitive what God is saying you need to do, because sometimes you need to leave something alone because it's not the right time for it. We need to be sensitive. Jesus said in John 5, 19, 30, and this is interesting. He's the Son of God. Don't you think he's going to know what to do? But this is what he says. Jesus said, verily I say unto you, the Son is not able to do anything of himself, if he may not see the Father doing anything. For whatever things he may do, the Father does, these also the Son does in like manner. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is righteous, because I don't seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. Jesus is a great example because he just didn't do what he wanted to do. He's in tune with the Father through the Holy Spirit, and he is doing and speaking and teaching and healing the people that God told him to speak to and teach and heal. Being sensitive to the voice of God to do God's will is critical if you're going to be a servant who runs their dash well. That's the first point. We need to do God's will, being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Okay, let's look at point two. The second thing we need to know about serving is not always convenient. How many like convenience? How many like microwaves? How many like remotes for the garage and the television? You know, it wouldn't be great if your fridge had a remote, you know, and it just brought you something. That would be great. No. But, you know, we love convenience, but serving is not always convenient. Sometimes it involves sacrifice and suffering. Sometimes serving hurts. Sometimes it costs you something. When it says in verse 45, look at that, he gave his life a ransom for many. How many know that cost him something? The suffering, the torture, the horror, and the worst of all is he's hanging on the cross, he's separated from God, and he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? His relationship with the Father was severed, and he experienced our torment, the eternal torment we would have in hell. He experienced on the cross separation from the Father. Sometimes suffering costs you something. And when it does, a lot of times we like to say, well, forget that. See if I'm going to serve. Several years ago, we pastored in Iowa. And one year we had a really big snowstorm. And I had an old snowblower. I think it was like from the 50s or 60s. It was really old. My father gave it to me. And I was blowing out my driveway. And a couple of my neighbors who weren't Christians that I was trying to build a relationship with, I felt the Holy Spirit say, blow them out. Clean out their snow for them. So I did that. And as I was near the end of one, I saw my neighbor across the street. I saw that he had his snowblower out and he was getting ready to blow. And as I finished up what I was doing, I take my snowblower home, I get it to the garage, and I turn it off. And I noticed my neighbor with his snowblower wasn't blowing snow, he was shoveling. And I asked him what's wrong, and he said, I can't get my snowblower to start. So I fire up mine, and I go over, and I just start to blow him out. I'm about halfway done, and I get to the end of one swath, and I turn around, and it won't move. The motor's running. The augers are going to blow snow, but the snowblower won't move. I can't get it to, I'm trying everything and it won't move. So I have to drag this, I don't know, 100, it's a big one. You know, 300-500 pound machine dragging it back across the street to my garage. It was always breaking down, okay? It was always breaking down. I prop it up on bricks. I have to unscrew this manifold to get it, to look at the wheels to see what's going on. And the chain came off, and there was only like about a quarter of an inch, half inch from the side. And it was really hard to get up in there and get the chain on. It was sub-zero weather with Wyoming winds in Iowa, okay? It was freezing. And I am out there for a half hour. I keep running in and out because it was so cold. And I'm trying to fix my snowblower. And here's the thing. At one of those points, the thought came to me, I know it was from the devil, and this was a thought, see what good it does to be a servant? It doesn't pay to be a servant. And you know, when you're cold and you're full of grease and you're frostbit, you know, and it's blowing your day because, you know, you couldn't get done what you want to get done, you really feel like agreeing with that sentiment. But serving's not always convenient. Sometimes it involves sacrifice, suffering. Sometimes it involves a cost. And I've even known sometimes when you do something for God, people criticize you and people come against you. And it's like if you do it, you get in trouble. And if you don't, you get in trouble. I just heard of a story this week where someone tried to include someone, that person got mad at him, and it's like, wow, thanks a lot. I mean, you can't, here's the thing, I can guarantee if you're going to serve for God, it's not always going to be perfect. You're not always going to get a pat on the back, good job, oh, thank you very much. Sometimes people are going to criticize you. Sometimes they're going to complain against you. Sometimes they're going to blame you. But the question is, how great of a dash do you want? If you want a great dash, you've got to be the servant of all. Doing what the Holy Spirit lays on your heart to do, even if it means pain, suffering, and cost. Because serving is the way to have a great dash. That's what Jesus said. Okay, let's take a look at number three, point number three in your notes this morning. A consumeristic mindset is the enemy of serving. A consumeristic mindset is the enemy of serving. Friends, our society is very consumeristic. We want the best product at the best price with the best customer service as fast as we possibly can, right? It's all about the consumer. And here's the thing, sometimes that consumeristic mindset comes into the church. And people carry it into the church. And here's the thing, when we have our destiny class, I tell everyone in our destiny class that there's only one reason the church is still on this planet. We're not here to worship God. Because I can worship God a whole lot better at the throne of Jesus. We're not here to learn and to be taught about God. Because I can learn a whole lot more about God sitting at the feet of Jesus up in heaven. We're not here to fellowship and to have a great time together because I can fellowship a lot better with you when my sin nature is gone and your sin nature is gone and we're up in heaven with Jesus. Now, yes, we do fellowship and we do teach and we do worship, but the main reason the church is on the planet is to reach lost souls because there are no lost souls up in heaven. The only thing you can do better on earth than you can do in heaven is to evangelize and to reach unreached people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why we are still here. But so many times, we make church about us. This is what I want. This is what I think should happen. Instead of about how do we reach the unreached? How do we reach the destitute? How do we reach the hurting and the needy? There was a lot of times people stop going to church because church isn't meeting my needs. We love our sports in America. What would happen if people stopped attending sporting events for the same reasons they won't attend church. Take a look at the screen this morning. What if people said, I'm not going to go to a sporting event because the coach never came to visit me? What if we said, every time I went, they asked for money? That happens at a sporting event. What if they said, I'm not going to sporting events because the people sitting in my row didn't seem very friendly? I'm not going to go because the seats were very hard. I love this next one. I'm sure we'll hear some of this today over the game. I'm not going because the referees made a decision I didn't agree with. I am not going because I was sitting with hypocrites. They only came to see what others were wearing. I'm not going because some games went into overtime and I was late getting home. Don't you hate it when church goes into overtime? I'm not going because the band played some songs that I had never heard before. I'm not going because the games are scheduled on my only day to sleep in and run errands. I'm not going because my parents took me to too many games when I was growing up. Yeah, I think my 10-year-old could say that going to all of her brothers and sisters' games. How about look at number 11. Since I read a book on sports, I feel I know more than the coaches anyway. And the last one, I don't want to take my children because I want them to choose for themselves what sport they like best. Those are all reasons people have for not going to church, but it looks pretty ridiculous when we talk about not going to a sporting event. And you know what the common denominator is in all of those? I like this and it's not happening. I'm not getting my way. I'm not having what I want. My needs are not being met. And when we get consumeristic, it kills the spirit of service. And we can't be effective in reaching our community for Jesus Christ. We need to get rid of consumerism. Jesus, in verse 45, we've read it so many times today, but it bears repeating, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. That's why Jesus came, and to follow his example, we're to serve. Do you know some Christians say, I'm too busy to minister, but the average Christian watches 22.8 hours a week of television? That's what studies say, 22.8 hours a week of television the normal Christian watches. Here's the thing. Some people say the church is a lot like a football game. Today, when you watch the Super Bowl, there's 70,000 fans in Levi Stadium, all wearing their favorite team's jerseys, kind of like we're doing today. By the way, the closest I get to supporting Denver is DeMarcus Ware in a Dallas Cowboy jersey. But we're wearing our favorite jerseys. Here's the thing. Those 70,000 people, most of them are in need of exercise, and you've got 22 men on the field in desperate need of rest. And that's how the church is sometimes. There's just a few that needs desperate need of rest because they're doing everything. And the rest of us are sitting back doing nothing. But that's not what God intended. You see, the church is a body. Paul wrote about this to the Roman church saying, you guys are a body. In Romans chapter 12, verse 4, this is what Paul said. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. In our human body, all of our members, all of our parts have a different function. And aren't you glad your body functioned good this morning? Aren't you glad your teeth function properly? Now, those who've lost your teeth, you got dentures. You know, here's the thing. What happens when one of us doesn't do our part? Does God just give us dentures? Just doesn't happen like that. When one part of the body doesn't work, the whole body suffers. Here's a question I want to ask you. How are you serving the body of Christ? If Casper Faith is your home church, how are you ministering to the body? There are some of you, you're not only doing one ministry, you're doing two or three, and I commend you on that. Don't burn out, okay? Make sure you're serving according to the will of the Father, being sensitive to what the Holy Spirit's called you to do. You got to take all the serving components and combine them together. But there's some of you here today, if you're not doing anything, if you're sitting in the seats with your jersey doing nothing, it's time to get out of the stands and get into the game. We have a multitude of faithful volunteers that work in parking lot and in greeters, at kid check, in the nursery, in preschool, pond, in jungle journey, in elementary, in sound and media, on the worship team, as ushers, as the treat team that come and make the coffee and get the cookies ready before church and serve them afterwards. We have people that teach Bible studies during the week. There are people that come and do food pantry on Tuesday, and there's kids ministries and so many things going on, youth ministries. I thank God for our volunteers. You guys are awesome. In fact, if you minister in the church, I want you to stand this morning. If you're involved in some ministry in the church, I want you to stand today, okay? We've got prayer intercessors. We've got altar team members. We've got men's breakfast, destination burger. I want you to stand if you're serving in the church. Give these people a hand today. You can be seated. Thank you for your ministry. There's life group leaders. I keep forgetting. And there's so much to do. But here's the thing. There is a role for everyone. And if you weren't one of the ones who are standing, I encourage you to examine your life and say, God, where do you want me to serve? What do you want me to do? And be sensitive to the Holy Spirit speaking in your life to walk in God's will. Here, take a look at point number four. Let's move to wrapping things up here today. The last thing we need to know about serving is serving releases life. Serving releases life and the Spirit of Jesus. Serving releases life and the Spirit of Jesus. Sometimes we feel like serving is a drag. Oh man, do I have to? I'm tired. I don't want to get out of bed. I don't want to go to the food pantry and work today, you know, or whatever it is. I heard a story one time of a man who woke up, and he actually didn't wake up. His mother came in the room and tried to get him out of bed, and she says, "You need to get up and go to church today." And he says, "Why?" And he says, "Well, I don't want to go." And she says, "Why?" He says, "Because people don't like me. And I just don't like going." And she said, "Well, you got to get up." He says, "Why?" "Because you're the pastor. You got to go." Sometimes we feel serving is a drag, but here's the thing. Serving gives life. When Jesus served and gave his life on the cross, 3 days later, the stone began to shake and it was rolled away. And Christ emerges victorious with new life. And that very night, we read in John chapter 20, verse 20, he comes to his disciples, he breathes on them and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." When Jesus served, it gave him new life, and it resulted in giving life to others, and it released the Spirit of Jesus so that today, all over the world, in churches where the gospel is being preached, life is going forth. People are coming to know God. People are being reconciled to God, and it's made an eternal difference in millions and millions of people. All because of one man's act of service. When you and I serve, it might be tough because there is suffering and there is difficulty, but realize it reveals a harvest. Don't grow weary in well-doing. You'll reap a harvest in due time. It releases life. God will energize you, and God will release the Spirit of Christ, and it will touch others. That is why we serve. That is why we serve, so that other people may have life and may have it more abundantly as God intended them. The Apostle Paul, well, first of all, how many of you are going to order pizza today? Anything about getting pizza? Let's say you ordered pizza. What would you do if the pizza delivery person came and was holding the pizza in his hand. And the cheese and pepperoni are falling off. And you're wondering, are his hands clean? I mean, you wouldn't think very much. I don't think I'd touch the pizza. Might give it to my daughter. No, I wouldn't, because then she throws up in the house. But, you know, that's bad. When you order a pizza, you expect it to come in a box. You know, when you order a pepperoni, you don't say, oh, and please include a box with that. The box just comes. But here's the thing. The box is the vessel that carries the pizza. And for a box to be useful, it has to be clean and it has to be empty. For that box to carry the pizza, something of value. This box is only worth 39 cents. The box doesn't really give pizza the value, but the pizza gives the box value. And this is what the Apostle Paul said. He basically said, friends, your pizza boxes. And he said this to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. He said, it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness and who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We have this treasure, this pizza, this something that's value in earthen vessels. You see, when God says, I want to deliver Christ to the world, when I want to serve the life of Jesus, when I want to release the Spirit of God, I just don't do it. I need a vessel that will contain the treasure, that will take it to everyone. And friends, you and I, we're the box, we're the vessel. Without Christ, we're nothing. We don't have value, but when we have Christ in us and we're walking in the anointing with determination and a servant spirit saying, God, I will do whatever you want me to do, we can bring the savory life of Jesus to everyone around us. That's the power of serving. You say, I don't feel like I'm much. I'm only a box. You know what? God uses boxes. We have this treasure in earthen vessels.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us, casperfaith@gmail.com, or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.